Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAFAIGA. You got one, Shelley?
Huh? What?
Yeah.
CIA.
What? No. Who?
FNA.
Welcome to Recovery 101, Shelley. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley
and Mark.
Shelley was a little out of it for a second there. Were you stuck in like after the afterglow of Sherbert?
No, I was thinking about my book.
See, I said Sherbert.
Sherbet.
And
Sherbet.
Shirley didn't
you must be kidding.
I'm not kidding. My name is not Shirley. Yeah.
My own husband doesn't know my name.
What was that, Martha?
And that's what Fausto calls me.
Yeah.
What's that, Kelly?
Yeah, everybody else calls me Kelly. Yeah.
Kelly, Shelley.
Shelby.
Hey, Shelley.
Shaniqua.
Hey, Shelley.
Nobody call you Shaniqua.
Yeah, our friend Shredder used to.
Hey, Shelley, if I needed a meeting right now, what should I be doing?
Putting on your little shoesies and getting into your coche pequeña. Pequeño.
That would be your small car.
Yes. And going to a meeting. Or you can call your sponsor, you can take a bus, you can walk. And you need to go to a meeting.
Phone a friend. Bruce, what do you think I should be doing?
I think you should turn up the volume. Pump up the volume.
Bump it up? Because we have a meeting going on here.
Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume.
This is not a meeting. This is the meeting after the meeting. It's on the website.
I'm about to collect the seventh.
Hey, we're the OGG. Newcomers for life, baby.
What's an OGG?
Come on. You don't know what the OGG? Hey,
no.
You know me?
What's an OGG?
That's the old guy gangsta.
Oh.
I just made that up. Because it's different. It's like the OPP. It's OPP, right?
I turned around and said I was going to collect the seventh tradition, and right away they all say newcomers need not feel obligated to contribute. The guy with 2 years said it to me.
K-bye.
Wow.
He says K-bye.
Michael's out there in the peanut gallery going, well, they told me I don't even have my foot in the door till 5 years.
Yeah. Put a dollar or two in the basket, folks.
Public service announcement.
Yeah.
I mean, should we say that as a public service announcement to all fellowships right now?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Back in the 60s, people put a buck in the basket. Minimum wage was a buck 20.
50
no,
years,
a buck.
50
a
years
buck.
Later, most people don't put a dollar in.
Yeah. I put in two or three as a general rule.
Yeah. Me too.
So when we have a meeting where there's like 12 people and we collect like $8, I'm like, well, I put in almost half of that.
Yeah.
Shelley put in one or two.
And Sarah put in five.
There it was. Shout out to Sarah.
Sarah, we miss you. Come visit.
She tried to send us a boozy news the other day, but the link wouldn't go through. So
come visit us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we could go and visit her, too.
It's hard to take the show there.
That's true.
I'd do it, though. I'd do it to go visit Sarah.
Okay.
Someday when we get some days off.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that be great if we could all coordinate a day off?
Be awesome.
Yeah, but you guys would be doing something and I'd be here reading.
Okay.
Because it's my day off and I'd be reading.
That's true.
Because that's what I do.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
We have shout-outs to Fran, Bill, Donald, Deborah.
Donald B.
Donald B.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Our friend Ian, who is a member of Podomatic, who sends us stuff on Podomatic sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Not really topics, not really boozy news. He's going to Kenya.
Ooh.
And he's going to be listening to Recovery 101 in Kenya. Because you can get it online. So we're going to have, because we'll look at the map and we'll have like one guy downloading. Oh, Shelly just drank
Shelly
off
just
my.
Drank out of your drink?
My drink, yeah. You like that diet stuff? Is it good?
She's got that
look. She's got that look of the kid the first time they drink whiskey, where they get that. Ugh.
Yes, I'm getting the whiskey shivers, and it's just.
She's getting
Diet
whiskey
Coke.
Shivers off Diet Pepsi.
Was it bad that the first time my son tasted scotch, he looked and said, "That's pretty good. Can I have some more?"
Wow.
He was six.
Wow.
Is that bad?
Same thing about beer.
That is bad.
Yeah.
Parenting. Parenting is the next topic.
Discuss my parenting skills.
Wow. Yeah, the question would be, why are you letting him try? Did you have that common fallacious reasoning that you let him try it and you'd go, oh, that's horrible?
Grandma.
Oh, perfect.
Grandma let him try it, her scotch.
That's what grandma was thinking. It's going to be so horrifying to him, he'll never touch it again.
Yeah, not so much.
No.
All right, let's see. What have we got here? Okay, kazoo alert. Are you ready? Hero of the week. Now, she is the hero of the week or day or show or whatever. The reality is she only really saved herself. But it's kind of a sad story, but she did save her own life, and she's only 12 years old.
That's a hero.
Paul Parker, who's 63 years old, was driving his granddaughter, the 12-year-old girl in question, Miranda Bowman. He was driving her home from a visit with her grandparents when he told her he didn't feel well and asked her to talk to him to keep him awake. A few minutes later, his head hit the driver's side window. He had died of a heart attack.
Oh.
But his foot was still on the accelerator.
Oh.
So, and she said, he said he was scared, then he closed his eyes, and then that's when I knew he was dead. That's what she said.
Oh, wow. That's a tough way for grandpa to go.
So the car started going out of control. She tried to dial 911 on her cell phone, but it didn't work, or she couldn't. She was too frazzled, something. It was unsuccessful.
I would think it'd be frazzled if the car's going out of control and you're trying to dial on the phone.
And she said, I thought I was going to die too. So she took off her seatbelt and slid over, slammed her body against the brake. And then when the truck started to slow down a little bit, she looked over and tried to see what she could crash into that would be soft enough. So she managed to get it going slow enough.
She picked a small group of students.
No, she got it going slow enough and she slid into a cornfield and stopped the vehicle.
Wow. Lucky thing there was a cornfield there. I tried that in Los Angeles once.
Yeah. It was a very small cornfield.
Yeah. Now, fortunately,
just four stalks of corn in someone's side yard.
Now, she then got out of the truck and dropped to the ground. Her grandfather just died, and she had to stop a truck. So she's a little freaked out. Fortunately, there had been a woman far enough behind her who had dialed 911 on her phone and followed the truck as it went along and was there and able to help her, and they came to get her right away.
Oh, well, you know what?
The woman who saved her.
The woman who saved her. It's a doubleheader. Well, she didn't really save her, but, you know, I mean.
She came to her
rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her name's not mentioned in the story.
Then that makes her even better.
That's right.
The little girl's father is quoted as saying, as upset as I am about losing my father, I can't even imagine how worse this could have been. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
Save yourself.
There's going to be some idiot somewhere who's going to go, why didn't you save grandpa? Why didn't you do CPR? While he was still driving.
And you've well identified that person.
Yeah.
Some idiot out there.
Some idiot.
In Fresno, California.
Fresno.
Is this from Bill?
I think so.
Fresneck.
Probably.
It's kind of it. I'm irritated because I'm really upset about what's going on here. There's a cemetery, the Sanger Cemetery in Fresno, has quite a few deceased military buried in it.
Okay.
Jess Puga would have been 64 years old now. He served our country and died. His family went to visit his grave and was disturbed to realize that someone had stolen the plaque off his grave marker. It's made out of bronze.
Yep.
They'd also stolen the brass fittings on all the, you know, chicka-chickas. The water comes out. Sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
And several other things. And they're taking this stuff off of our dead military, off of their graves. And how much are they going to get for bronze?
A chunk of money, enough to go get a hit.
That's just wrong. I mean, okay, you own a pawn shop. Some guy comes in with the marker off a gravestone. You're going to buy it from him?
It's going to be a metal recycler.
Yeah.
It's common now. There's thieves that will go up on the roofs of buildings. And I can't remember what they call it, but they go mining copper. They pull all the copper fittings off all the air conditioning units.
You know what the best part of my day is? When I read the story about the guy who didn't shut the power off first and just turned into a
just fries himself.
And I cheer.
I saw a thing on Facebook the other day that I'd never heard of about military guys that have coins on their grave markers. And there was a real specific thing. Like if you don't know the person, you put a nickel. If you just out of respect, if you served with them, you put a dime. Mm-hmm. You put a quarter if you served with him when he was killed. Mm-hmm. And that they leave it on there for a while for respect. And however many times a month they go and they collect all the change off all of it and they use it to help bury other military personnel.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Should go and take a few rolls of nickels somewhere, one of the VA cemeteries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be a hero of the week. Everybody do that.
Bill sent this next story in too, and he titled his email Terminator 1. In Tokyo,
the Terminator.
The Tsurobashi Heavy Industry has unveiled their new robot.
Uh oh.
It is 13 feet tall,
ooh,
weighs about 4 tons,
ooh,
and can be controlled with anyone's iPhone.
With anyone's iPhone?
If you have an iPhone,
that's
you can
already
control
a bad
it
idea.
And
they announced that
you sit in it. It's like a robot suit. You can even pay $15 and get cup holders. You sit in it and you can control it, or it can be controlled externally by an iPhone. It shoots 6,000 BBs a minute.
And where can we get one of those here?
Yeah, for what?
I don't know. That's the only function listed in this story is how many BBs it can shoot.
Okay. So it's a gigantic BB gun.
Basically. And
they can't shoot another robot and do any damage to it.
And you can wear this when you get inside, you're in the cockpit, you're wearing this like sensor thing on your head, and if you smile, it will start shooting. So every time you smile, it shoots off a volley of BBs.
That's to make sure that if you're thinking of your ex-wife or something, you don't smile and accidentally shoot someone.
So basically, I should get one of these little suits, and I can go to wherever people are annoying me or whatever, and I can think of the picture of the girl with the ice cream.
Yes.
And just mow them down.
Take them out, shall
you? You know, in other words, do not wear this suit to, like, I don't know, an Eddie Murphy concert.
Yes, really.
That would be bad. What was it, 1,000 BBs a minute?
6,000.
6,000 BBs a minute.
Wow.
However, it is a bit pricey. It cost, the pound, this story came out of it, a paper from England. It cost £900,000.
900,000?
Yes.
So it's...
That's a dollar or two.
It's well over a million, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know now. But the Euro thing's got me all screwed up.
Yes. In Chicago...
Windy City.
My kind of town.
The beer line... messed up a guy's marriage proposal.
The Bears.
Yes, I saw this story.
Yes, Chicago Cubs fan Greg Altringer of Great Falls said he wanted to propose to his girlfriend, Erica Kresge. When they went to the game on Monday night. So he paid to have Erica, Will You Marry Me flashed up on the scoreboard screen.
Oops.
Well, she happened to be stuck in a very long beer line when they flashed it up there. So she missed the whole thing. And he had friends that were planning to videotape the whole thing and the reaction and stuff and put it on YouTube. And so he had to to punt. He's just when she came back from the beer line, finally, because apparently the beer was more important. He just dropped to one knee and proposed.
That should be an indication.
What? That the beer line was
if
more important?
The beer was more important to her than the proposal?
Well, she didn't know. She didn't know.
Yeah, it was God's will.
What if he was the one who sent her to get the beer? That would have been, he would have been, yeah. been felt really bad
yeah.
then.
Yeah, call go, back. Go give me a beer. I'm feeling nervous.
Call back into the paper when she files for divorce.
Jeez. She accepted the proposal.
Awesome.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
And the beer.
Yeah, and the beer.
The worst is like the guy that they stop, like, the, it's at halftime at a big basketball game. Yeah. The guy gets down on his knee, and she just takes off running.
Off running. That was awesome.
And the mascot goes up, has his arm around the guy. I'm like, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, that blows.
That does kind
of. And like
suck.
One of the announcers that just said, "Wouldn't it be terrible if someone like said no?" And he goes, "Oh my god, I jinxed it."
Yeah. See, I think a cheerleader should have gone up and just thrown her arms around his neck.
Oh, I'll marry you.
She'd have been jealous. She'd have come back.
Dude, that would have been. Funny.
Let go of my boyfriend, bitch.
No, just ran up there and wrapped her legs around him kind of thing. In that little short cheerleader skirt.
In Uganda.
In Uganda?
Yes, in Uganda. The president and the
Mugabe?
Ministry of Health have declared a ban on all physical contact in the entire country.
I didn't know Uganda could have a minister of health.
AIDS? No, huh?
AIDS?
No. No physical contact, no kissing, no hugging, nothing, no handshaking. Because of an outbreak of Ebola.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That
wow.
People, if people find out that a patient came into the hospital, they just all left the hospital?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right now they've got one hospital where a patient came in, feeling like he had a cold. They realized what it was, but by then, like 13 hospital workers had been exposed, so now they're all quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do anything about that?
No. It's hemorrhagic fever, and it kills, depending on which strain it is, it can kill up to 90% of the people who get it.
And it's a bad way to go, right?
It's horrible.
Liquefies your insides.
Yeah, liquefies your insides. You turn to jelly. You basically bleed out. You everything out. You diarrhea. You vomit. You bleed. I mean, everything.
That's, you know what?
Your eyes start bleeding.
Yes. I'd go out.
Your eyes bleed.
I'd go out. And I'd go out on a gigantic slam of cocaine. Because if I'm going
to
die of hemorrhagic fever...
Are we to find out you were one of the 10% afterwards, you actually survived from it, and now you're a newcomer.
You know...
yes, that would happen.
You know, no. You know what you
should
do?
What happened to you.
You should smoke a bunch of weed. Because then the fever will be too stoned to do anything.
Yeah. That's right. Get the virus high.
Can you imagine that? A bunch of... Did you ever notice, like, when I used to smoke a lot of weed, it seemed like I didn't really get sick that much? And I think my germs are sitting there on the couch going, dude, I just don't feel like getting sick today, man. I don't know why. I'm just like, but I'm really thirsty. Yeah, you got a Twinkie?
Yeah. I remember when I was getting loaded, though. I'd always get that Peru flu.
Peru flu? Yeah. That was the excuse to work. I got the flu.
The runny nose, stuffy nose, watery eyes.
In
Florida.
Yes. Now there's this woman, Carolyn Dukeshire. She's 62 years
old.
She is known around town in the Florida Keys. As the sea hag.
Oh man.
I've
That's
seen
not
the
really...
picture.
Is she?
She is.
It's extremely it's a very apt description, let's say.
Wow.
Sea hag.
But she has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder.
One too many guys called her sea hag?
She looked at a guy and he fell over dead.
No. What she normally does on a daily basis is she's a fisherwoman. That's how she supports herself. She just returned from dinner at a friend's house, and a neighbor was sitting outside and had just opened a beer. She walked around the side of her house and asked if she could have one. He refused, and she shot him in the abdomen. Shot him in the abdomen twice in the back, and then once in the wrist.
And took
that's a hard way to die, too.
And took his beer.
And then took his beer, yeah. Then she tossed the gun into the canal and waited for the police.
Okay. Why? If you're going to wait for the police, why are you tossing the gun in the canal?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why would you toss the guy in the canal?
And hope for an alligator.
Yeah.
It's Florida. I mean, stranger things have happened.
No, or just feed the guy's hand to the alligator and say, arrest him.
He fed the alligators.
Right. Yeah. He fed the alligators. That was from last show, if no one heard that.
Okay, I got to do one more really quick, even though we're over time.
Okay.
Do you guys remember the story of what was a while back about the guy who's dying wish? He died of cancer at age 29, and he asked his brother Seth, as his dying wish, he wanted him to leave an awesome tip, like $500, for just some random waitress or waiter.
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, we did that story a while back.
I don't remember it either.
At any rate, so he did do that, and his brother and his mom. Now, he didn't actually leave any money. He didn't have anything to leave. But his mom and his brother raised the $500, and they bestowed it on a waitress at a pizza parlor.
Who immediately hit her knees for the brother.
No, then the story went out on YouTube, and they started getting donations. So now, once a week, the family is all going to go out to dinner. They're paying for their own dinners, but they are going to give a $500 tip every week, wherever they travel to a waiter or waitress who deserves it. $50,000 have been donated for this cause. And so far, they've only done it three times, but they're going to be going every week, and they guarantee that every cent will be used to go to those waiters and waitresses. And they're
that's what I'd say.
No, they've got a website now, and the financial records are posted.
I'd take it in dollars and go to a strip club and just randomly spend it on a stripper.
You know what? No. A waitress at a strip club is probably a stripper. Here, I got $500. Here's your tip. What do I get? Dude.
No, I think
$500 tip for a random stripper waitress.
You guys are like really dissing this guy's final wish has turned into this nice thing.
Hey, let me tell
you
something.
He's dead. He doesn't care.
You know what? No. You know what? I'll bet he would. This guy, he only wanted $500 given to one waitress.
Right.
So if I give $500 to a stripper waitress, that's no good? I'll bet he'd cheer that on.
You know.
Yeah, the whole peanut gallery is in agreement with me.
You know, a hooker sort of is in the service industry.
Yes. And
they
get
take tips. A $500 tip.
Yeah. There you go. If the waitress turns it down, then it's no good.
Boy,
this story didn't go the way you thought it was going to go,
did it? No,
it
didn't, because I thought
it was
incredibly, it was an incredibly nice gesture.
It's awesome. It's touching.
You should have made him the hero of the week.
We were just adding some funny to it.
Okay, well, at any rate, that's now the... Oh, well, wait, now we have a kazoo. Is that the belated... Jeez, Mark! Okay, that is the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College.
And Sober College. SelfWillHappens.com. We'll take you to a Sober College thing. They got some news things. They got one of our players is there. It's a pretty cool place.
Yep.
So we have a topic, Shelly. Throw it out there, baby. Really?
Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs.
There you go.
Also
step
known as step five,
baby. Step five.
I always have to run them down in my head.
Right, I saw you doing it.
You saw the wheels turning.
Where's our peanut gallery going? Where's our peanut gallery going?
So,
that was a nice blank spot.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
Step five.
Step five. How'd you do it, Shelly? I didn't want to throw you.
Reluctantly.
Ooh.
Because
Shelly had those really hardcore, nasty things that she did to people her whole life. Biggest resentment was herself.
I had a couple of things on my inventory that I didn't want to talk about with anybody at all, ever, in the history of my life. And but I finally had to do it. But in the interim, I kept putting my sponsor off and putting her off and putting her off and putting her off to the point where I made myself physically ill. I felt like crap. I was crying all the time. And finally I called her up one day. I said, you know, this isn't working. I'm going to drink. And she said, no, you're not. And she basically had a couple of people babysit me for a day because she was working that day. And then the next morning she shanghaied me and we went out somewhere and she said, we're doing your fifth right now. End of story. Crack it open. And I did. And then that was that. I wish that I had not dragged it out like that because I wouldn't have had to go through all that angst. And I always tell people, don't do it that way. But how often in the program have you heard people like share and say, well, I wouldn't recommend doing it this way, but this is how I did it. And the guy's got like 36 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, well,
I would recommend doing it that way.
Yeah. If you've got 36 years and you did it that way, okay, yeah, maybe it sucked, but you've got 36 years. But still, I wouldn't recommend doing it that way.
Now, did you feel the big relief afterwards? Some people do, some people don't.
Not particularly. I was relieved because it was over and I didn't have to deal with it anymore. But it wasn't like I felt some, or anything like that. It's just, it wasn't hanging over my head anymore. And I did, I suppose, I felt a little bit lighter because there were some things that, you know, the little things that bug you that aren't like the end of the world kind of things, but they still bug you for a long time. And those were over. I haven't really thought about them since.
How about you, Mark?
Well, I had shared about, you know, on the last show that we did when we did the four step. That I went to a four-step workshop and did my four-step because my spine kept putting it off. So after I did the four-step, now when I went to the workshop, I went with my first her that I met in the program. So we shared our fifth steps. We did our fifth steps with each other.
That's a disaster.
That is a disaster. I would recommend not doing that. And then I went and did it with my sponsor afterwards because I told my sponsor that's what I did. And he says, yeah, I'll bring it over.
Yeah.
But, you know, this program, I mean, most people, I think, do their four-step, would you say between 6 months and 18 months? Is that a good spread?
My sponsees do.
Yeah, well, I had one that did it.
She was robo-sponsee. But, I mean, let's say, if you're looking for a good general term, between 6 and 18 months.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
By that time, haven't you figured out that, A, you have to be willing, and B, you have to trust in the fact the program works?
You would think.
You know, if you figure that out, you just do the next step. I mean, you just do it. I don't know what the angst and the thought, and I don't want to share that. Well, you don't want to share it. Do you want to get loaded?
No.
Then you share it. Then you do the fifth step.
Right. No, well, I agree with that. And I think that, you know, I mean, I did so well with my one Sterling. Well, actually, I have two Sterling sponsees, as opposed to the bazillions who never called me back. She did really well with blasting.
Peanut Gallery wants to know if any of them are single. I hear them behind me.
One is, but I'm not going to tell you who.
She's only 18.
Yeah. He's looking for anybody between 18 and 50.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? He's looking for anybody with a pulse.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Bruce, what about you?
I did my inventory at the beach. Or I did my fifth step at the beach.
Yeah.
My sponsor said, we're going to do your fifth step. We're going to set fire to it in one of the beach fire pits.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to carry the ashes out. We're going to toss them on the waves of the ocean. We're going to watch them get
cast them upon the waters.
Pulled out to sea.
So you're going to litter.
You're going to watch your old life get pulled away by the ocean. And so I'm sitting there at the bench at the beach, and I'm reading my inventory, and my sponsor, older guy, kind of dozing in and out of sleep because apparently my inventory is not as damn exciting as I thought it was. And I get partway through, and I look up, and there's this dude on roller skates sitting at the end of the bench, and he is entirely enthralled with what's going on here. And I look at the guy, and I look at my sponsor, and I look at the guy, and I look at my sponsor. I'm like, dude. And my sponsor goes, you don't know him. Keep reading. So I keep reading, and at the end, we're going to light this thing on fire, and the wind picks up. And it's very windy. I can't get the thing to light on fire. My sponsor keeps looking at me. Are you sure you wrote everything? Are you sure you wrote it? I'm like, I'm sure. Guy on the roller skates is over there. He's got his Zippo out. I mean, can't keep the Zippo. Could not get this thing to light. So we take it back to my sponsor's house in the hills of Pasadena. Throw it on the gas barbecue grill. Flame it. Take the ashes and put them in the toilet and flush them. Not quite as spiritual as I thought it was going to be.
You know what? If you'd have put your fifth step, if you'd have put your inventory in a spoon, you'd have been able to get it lit.
You know what? Probably not, though, because I didn't have to do that for cocaine.
You know what? That was God telling you it's wrong to litter.
It's
you were going to litter your fourth step all over
littering.
The ocean. That's littering.
Really?
Were you throwing trash on the ocean?
Was I throwing something 100% biodegradable?
It doesn't matter. It's trash.
It's already been burned.
It would take a while for it to degrade.
It's not trash.
It's already been burned.
It's ash.
Yeah, it's ash. The moment it hits the water, it's going to whoosh.
Oh, well, that's true. If you were burned. Yeah, but you couldn't get it burned.
Right. That's why I didn't throw it in the water.
Well, originally you said that you were going to throw the pieces on the water.
The burnt
I said
pieces.
The ashes. Mm. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Shelly's borrowing trouble for me now.
I'm not borrowing it for myself anymore. I got to borrow it for somebody.
Wait a minute.
You're no longer borrowing trouble?
Are you sure about that?
What?
Are you really sure about that? Where's that envelope that came in the mail earlier?
Oh, yeah.
You sure you're not borrowing trouble for anything?
That was not borrowing trouble. That was wondering about something that may or may not
practicing in probability and statistics.
Based on previous evidence.
Yeah. Based upon previous facts already presented.
Whatever. How about you ever done a interesting fifth step with someone, Mark?
Yeah, I have.
I've
heard one or two. You know, there. It's really, you know, you're only as sick as your secrets, and I haven't heard any secrets that were overly sick. You know, I've never had anybody share anything really, like, mind-blowing.
I have.
Yeah, I really haven't. It's like, you know, most of them were smart and they put the booties on the dog and, you know.
So. What? Oh.
Official eye roll.
Socks?
Tied the chicken's feet together, you know.
Ow, bangarang.
So, no, I mean, you know. You hear the different, you know, look, people are trying to clear away their wreckage. And you let them do that, you know, and it's just, I don't know, I guess it's, I listen to somebody do their fifth step, and like I said, as with everything else with people I sponsor, they keep me sober.
Absolutely.
You know, I listen to that stuff and I go, yeah, I don't need to go back there anymore.
How about you, Shelly?
What?
You've had a, you've heard a couple of inventories. Where'd you do it?
I've heard two.
Where'd you do it?
Starbucks.
Starbucks?
On the club.
Were the other people extremely interested in what was going on?
There wasn't anybody around. It was the middle of the day.
No. Mark and I were merely talking at Starbucks, and we're freaking a woman out. I told her my stick my cocaine in the IV story, and Mark said, this woman behind you is like freaking the F out about this. She can't believe it. Because I could see it now. Can you imagine? You're down having a leisurely coffee with someone from work. Guy at the next table's talking about, and so I was banging the sheep, and I was... And I did this, and I did that, and they're like, what the hell?
Yeah. Slammed cocaine into my IV line.
I did it with a guy one time at a restaurant. And I said the same thing to him, that there was like a smoking patio. It's a place up here on San Bernardino Road, and I'm sitting there at a Costas family restaurant, and we're out there because we could smoke. And these other people came and sat, and this guy's looking at me like, hey, there's people. I said the same to my sponsor. I said, you don't know them. So, yeah, had kind of a lengthy inventory. We get through until the restaurant closes. Then we go out in the parking lot. We're sitting out in the parking lot. And I have a tendency to do 5, 6, 7, and 8 all in a row.
30 minutes.
And so when he gets done, I'm like, so you ready? I've got to remove all your defects? And he's like, yeah, because I had a whole list of them. You know, I should save that part for the other steps. But then I made him hit his knees right in the parking lot, do the 7-step prayer. We both hit our knees in the middle of a parking lot. It's got to look just bizarre to the people in the restaurant. They probably think we're like total right-wing, born-again, you know, what do they call it? Charismatics?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. They must have been thinking that.
Yeah, the best thing
I didn't
do.
Throw my arms up in the air.
The best thing to do if you're going to do that. Throw your car keys under the car so it looks like you're looking for your keys.
Oh, yeah. So,
why?
It's because.
So, Shelly, what would your final words on step 5 be?
Just get it over with, because either you'll feel amazingly better afterwards, or you'll at least just be relieved that that part is over and now you can move on, and you might feel a little more energized. But hemming and hawing about it, all you're going to do is make yourself sick, which is what I did, and I don't recommend that. Because
good advice.
You know, if you... I've already done the research on that one, so you don't need to do that.
Mark, final words.
Every step I've worked has made my life better. Just do them.
Every step you take... Every move you make.
The official stalker song.
Oh, that is a stalker song, isn't
it?
Yeah.
It's the police, the official police stalker song.
I had really good final words, and I can't for the life of me remember what
they
were.
That's because you had to stop to sing.
No, I had forgotten it before then. I'd hoped if I thought about something else for a second, it would bring it back. Oh, I know what it was.
There you go.
It was the analogy that my sponsor gave me. When we come to a program, we're like a bad cup of coffee. That cup of coffee that's been sitting in your garage for like a month and it's got weird crap growing in it. And we go to meetings and we pour new coffee in the cup, but it mixes with the old coffee and it's still bad. When we do our inventory and we share it with our sponsor, it's like dumping out the old bad cup of coffee. And now when we go to meetings, we just pour good coffee in. Sweet. Well, the cup could still be dirty. Dude, my cup is still dirty. Look at me. I mean, come on. Mark, who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The Other White Meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go and read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. And he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service.
Peanut Gallery is doing something very strange out there.
And he's behind me, which makes me a little bit nervous. If you're interested in a franchise, you can contact...
It's a cooling spray.
You can contact... What is that? You can contact Bruce directly. He'll give you all the information you need to bring the 12 step, because that's your little corner of the world.
Sweet. Shelly? Yeah, give us the pitch. Nolan Ryan.
If you go to recovery101.net, click on one of the shows. You then click on like or permalink, And if you are a member of Podomatic, thank you. You've just been counted and it helps us out a lot. If you're not a member of Podomatic, it will ask you if you would like to become one, and you do. It's fun and free, and you can add us to playlists, you can follow, you can like all the old posts, you can leave comments and topic suggestions.
Just so you guys know, there's like 400-plus shows up there. You could listen to a show a day for a year just to catch up and still have like 30-something, 40-something left.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. I stopped for a second because I thought I gave out my personal email address for a second. I'm like, uh-oh. We've got the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
We have some openings for that, by the way.
We do. A bunch. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. And Shelly, who's the lead out music by? I know you've got those just ready to go right
by
there.
Evelove, Nothing But Me.
Nothing But Me. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Strip me away of all of my things, leave me with nothing to spare. Take all I have and leave nothing unturned, leave me with nothing but air. Take it away, I'm tired and I fought all I can. Tried holding on, yes I tried for too long, I'm letting go. Letting go of everything. Take it away from me. Take away everything. Leave me with nothing but me. Nothing can hold me back. If there is nothing left, breaking the cycle of me. So I let it all go. Just let it flow. See where the story would end. Days spent lost and afraid.